you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. My name is Pastor Dennis. I just want to welcome you. Thank you for being here today. I love the season. I love the Christmas services. I love the kids, everything that they did today. I love the worship time. It's beautiful. I love the way the church is decorated. It's gorgeous. We're going to give you a chance right now to be generous. We appreciate all your generosity. The church, you know, I say this often, but you know, we don't actually make money. The only money we have is what you give, and then we use that as God directs. So thank you for all that you give. And if you're prepared to help us receive that, if you would just come down now, and that would be awesome. So I appreciate all of your generosity. You can give different ways. You can give in person like this. You can always give online. You can give. We have a text to give option as well. So those are all options for you as you do give and you're generous. So thank you again for that generosity. I enjoyed the kids, especially up here. It was fun hearing them say, were you surprised too how many said that it was better giving than receiving? Good parenting. That is good parenting. Something you might think of, you know, when it comes to Christmas, you could give their gifts to somebody else. Right, kids? Wouldn't that be better? That was amazing. I love that. Well, you know, Christmas, as a pastor, it offers an opportunity for us to look at the Christmas story and the whole event of Christmas and everything that happened in different ways. And I'm sure, like you, you've read the story many times. I've read it, I couldn't even tell you how many times. How many of you have been in a Christmas production or play or anything like that? Anybody? Any part? Raise your hand. That's what I thought. You know, a lot of us, you know, we grew up doing this, so a lot of it is almost memorized, but I want to focus in on one little part today that I felt like I was reading something in the last couple weeks, and I read something this lady posted online, and it just really caught my eye, and it really made me think, and I pondered it for days and days, and so and then somebody at church here posted something yesterday that just, or maybe last night, I don't know when they posted it, but I was just like, this is interesting. Let's think about this for a minute. If you would do this with me. We're going to read together as the angel is appearing to Mary. And he says, having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. I know you caught this because it's something we are all familiar with, but the angel called Mary blessed when he told her that she would birth Emmanuel, the Christ child, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. But I got to thinking and I was wondering, what if sometimes we miss what blessed means? Because I don't know about you, but in my mind, blessed usually means we're kind of lucky, right? Like everything going great and everything's easy. Isn't that usually what we interpret blessed as? And when you read her being called blessed, that's not exactly what she encountered. Because what that news meant for her is that she would be gossiped about by family and neighbors. What it really meant is that baby would grow up and then as an adult be hated by a lot of the people in the religious establishment. It also meant that ultimately Mary would see her son sacrificed for the entire world. I don't know about you, it doesn't sound like lucky right there. Doesn't sound like the kind of blessed. I was kind of thinking, what if he meant bless your heart? And not necessarily blessed. I've said that a lot this week, not because I mean it wrong. It's just, it's been on my mind since I knew what we were talking about today. You know, somebody's going through something. I said, well, bless your heart. And then I see him kind of look at me like, those aren't the things that a first-time mother dreams about. And if you think about it, very little of what they experienced was what most first-time mothers dream about. There wasn't a nursery prepared. It wasn't like that. And yet this proclamation echoes through time. Blessed are you. Maybe we've just kind of forgotten how blessings actually work, how that works. Think about it for a second. How does God teach you wisdom? Does he just give it to you? Or does he give you opportunities for you to learn wisdom? When you learn patience. And when he gives you patience, it's usually because he's put you in situations where you can learn how to be patient. And the same thing with strength. The same thing with sympathy. The same thing with love. He gives you opportunities to do those things. It's not like they come in a package and you unwrap it and you have it. You learn it. You walk through it. Blessed. When a baby's born healthy, we say they're blessed. But what about when they're not? When you get the house and the job and the promotion, you're blessed. But when, what about when you don't? Aren't you blessed still? Does God not bless you? Is that a sign that you are not in God's blessing? What about when you defy the medical odds stacked against you? We often think, oh, they're blessed. And then what about when the diagnosis comes true and you live through a very painful time or worse? I think about even, you know, my motorcycle accident 26 years ago. It's crazy, losing my foot, getting my hip shattered, dislocated. Was I still blessed? Because some people didn't think so. Blessed and highly favored? I've been asked about that a million times. But I, just a little peek ahead, but I can't even tell you how much I've learned from that experience that I would have never learned had I not gone through it. Can't even imagine how many doors that this foot has opened. You have no idea how many conversations have been spawned or how many people who would probably never listen to me want to hear what I have to say. Fellow amputees, given hope, just to see me walking, something that you probably never think twice about. I don't take it for granted, not one day. Not one day. I feel blessed every step. But getting back to this, what about the no room at the end? Was that a blessing? We wouldn't think of it as a blessing, being laid in a manger. But if you think about it, he proved himself a priest that was taken right among men, and he experienced things that are normal for humanity, the normal pain of living. It's interesting to think about, he suffered just like one of us, and because of that, he could be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Even as an infant, laid in a manger, he was our friend. I wonder too if there was even a hint of the upcoming cross in that as he's laid there. I mean, you think about what can a baby endure, but that kind of poverty, I think a baby, for them, it would be a cross. Francis of Assisi said it like this, "For our sakes, he was born a stranger in an open stable. He lived without a place of his own wherein to lay his head, subsisting by the charity of good people, and he died naked on a cross in the close embrace of holy poverty." It's interesting. That was God's appointed sign to us. And really, it's the true incarnation. It's God laying down himself to become man. Just as Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, he said, "He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." You know, nothing about the baby Jesus' arrival appeared supernatural, and certainly none of it looked blessed, not at least what we normally think. There weren't any halos. There weren't any visible angels for most of it. If you had no further information, you would have just assumed it was a normal human, poor baby with his poor baby parents. That's it. Those outward circumstances, they pointed to God, but none of it looked blessed. Yet every part of it was something God designed ahead of time. You realize, of course, nothing catches him by surprise. Whatever happens, he takes and he makes it good, and he takes things that for us look ridiculous and maybe don't fit, as none of this fit, and to our unseeing eye, it looks wrong. But to God's eye and the planning he does, he understood and planned every part, because indeed it was blessed. Mary and Joseph, they might not have believed it in the moment, and they wouldn't have seen it in advance. But just like that, just like our lives, we don't see things coming around the corner. And yet these things that happen, if we look at them the right way, they are blessings. We can't always see the blessings. And one sad thing about even our culture, probably more than others, but it's always been around for humans, but we see blessings in others. You know, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is, and we see their carefully crafted highlight reel that we compare to our lives, and we see blessing there, and it kind of steals away ours. But blessings sometimes don't make sense for years. Sometimes never. There's nothing about this story that really makes sense. But it's moments like this that I think we need to step back and realize the mysterious ways of God. Sometimes we don't understand in the moment, but you have to rely on what you do know, and that is he is good and he's got a plan. And his plans are better and greater. And even though they don't make sense to us and they're full of unanswered questions, the fact is you know that he's good and merciful and his ways are not our ways and he doesn't make mistakes. I take great comfort in that, knowing that there is a God in heaven who loves us, cares about us, and has planned for this. Nothing is wasted, and whatever we hand back to him that we can't understand, that he turns into a blessing. I think interesting, too, is that the people there had no room for him. His own people, just as John writes in John 1:11, that he came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. Jesus came to his own people, and they wouldn't take him in. People that should have known better, should have known, they didn't receive him. They should have, but they even knew he was coming and planned for him coming and anticipated him coming, and they weren't ready. Something else to think about, that his humiliation and his rejection started his birth, continued through his life and his death. He was born outside and even died outside. As Jesus said during his ministry, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He owned nothing but the clothes on his back. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. They didn't have room for him. My question is, do you? Do you have room for him? Here's something to think about. The blessing. I do believe Mary was blessed. And I believe she was blessed in a way that is a way that we too can be blessed. It's just not what you think. Here's how she was blessed. Mary lays on a stable floor, her newborn baby in a feeding trough. She lays her plans for a perfect home and wedding and nursery down, but she's face to face with glory. That's blessing. Mary stoops low to cradle grace himself. That is blessing. You might find yourself lower than you've ever been. I don't know. Might be times where your heart stoops low. And it's something, a story you wouldn't have chosen or wouldn't have written this way. But the fact is, that blessing that Mary experienced, you get to have too, because that blessing is him. Imagine now, if you would, just for a second, and if you're prepared to serve communion, if you would get ready and start coming to do that, and if the worship team could join me, I want you to think about this for a second. Mary's blessing wasn't in living a charmed life and perfect everything. The blessing was she got to hold the literal Son of God from the moment he was born. She got to raise him. She got to experience him personally. No one else had that position. Of course, Joseph as a father, he did too, but it's different. I know all of you mothers would agree, it's different being the mom. But we get to also share that because we get to experience and hold Jesus himself now. The blessing is him. He is the blessing. Emmanuel, God with us. And just like that innkeeper, you get a choice every day to invite Jesus in and to hold him close. You have the choice. What we're going to do right now as a church is we're going to celebrate communion. And this is something that, you know, you might think, well, this would be better on Good Friday. But you know what? What we're doing here is symbolic. We have two cups. We do it a little different here. The bottom cup holds the bread. So you'll want to try to open those ahead of time. Thank goodness I have this to catch that. And we use the grape juice. Both of these are symbolic. And as Jesus was preparing for his death and he was eating the Last Supper with his disciples, celebrating the Jewish Passover, he holds up the bread at one point and he says, "This bread represents my body, which is broken for you." Then later he says, "This cup represents my blood, which is shed for you." What he was doing was laying out for the disciples something that they shared with everybody who followed them and all of us who followed them. And we share in that, and it symbolizes Jesus' death and his broken body, the sacrifice that he laid down for our sins. What I'm going to ask you to do is, if you would hold the bread first, and we're going to pray over these, and then when we get ready to drink, we'll pray over the cup. And then after we're done praying, then you can throw them all away. And then we'll close our service with some singing together today. as you're still being served, I want you just, if you would, just shut your eyes with me for a second. And I want you to think about what all of this means. This is the blessing that Mary was blessed with that day. She had no idea what it would look like. She could never have conceived what it would have been like. All those years raising the Christ child, she would never have known, but she got to be with Jesus. And you, if you're a believer here today, you get the same blessing that you can be with Jesus. That is what we're sharing today. Anybody still need to be served? I don't want to miss anybody. Okay. Well, if you take that bread, just hold it in your hand, and I want to pray over it as before we eat it here together. Father, I'm so grateful for everything that you are. I'm grateful for your loving kindness that extends through time and through all these generations, and that you knew before the creation of the world that each of us, each individual within the sound of my voice would be holding this bread today and make a decision to follow you. God, we're grateful for your sacrifice that you've given for us. We're grateful for you that you gave the Christ child, and we're grateful that we can share in the blessing of knowing him ourselves. God, we remember your son's broken body as we eat this bread together. Father, as we hold this cup, we are grateful for your son's shed blood that he shed on behalf of us, that takes the place and covers and removes our sin completely. We're grateful, God, that we can stand before you completely forgiven, completely whole, and have a relationship with you directly. We're grateful for that this morning. Go ahead and drink with me. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Would you stand with us as we close?
Praise. heaven held its breath till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born when the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not yield, shall not.
Favorite parts of the Christmas story is this is after Jesus has been born and he's lying in the manger, and Mary and Joseph are there. And what I love is the part where the angel showed up to the shepherds. They were the lowliest of the low. They were just regular human beings, just like you and me. And I love that even Jesus reaches down. You don't have to be spectacular. You don't have to be wonderful. He reaches down and loves us where we're at. He reaches down and speaks to us where we're at. And here's what he said. The angel appeared and he said this: glory to God in heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. I pray that this Christmas season for you is one where God is pleased with us, and he sees us and he looks at us with joy in his heart. And we may not feel worth it. We may not feel valuable. We may not feel like that there's anything special about me, but God sees us that way. So much so that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to be with us, to be the savior of the world for us. We're blessed. We're blessed. I encourage you to take this holiday season to slow down and just to take a few moments. Maybe you get a few days break, or maybe you just need to take a moment in your car alone and you just spend time with Jesus and you just thank him for who he is. Thank him that he came to this earth to be a blessing for us. And if he'll show his face, if he'll send his angels and invite even the lowest of the low in, he invites you too. So Jesus, I pray, Lord God, I pray for this holiday season for every single one of us in this room. We may be feeling low. We may be feeling down. We may be feeling out. We may be feeling like there's not much to celebrate this season. Lord, I pray that you would just lift us up. I pray that you would just bring us great joy. I pray, Lord, that you would just begin to fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would just give us peace in this season. For anyone struggling here today, God, I just pray that you would just give them peace right now that only the Holy Spirit can give. Lord, I just thank you that you send good news of great joy. Lord, I pray that even in the midst of all this, we will find great joy in our lives. God, we love you. We thank you. I pray over all of these people here today for this holiday season, for this Christmas day coming up. Lord, I pray that we would just have an amazing Christmas with family and with friends. We'll find peace. We'll find joy. We'll find happiness in this season. God, we love you. We thank you for the gift of you, of your son, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Hey, we love you guys so much. We wish you the merriest of Christmases. Don't forget that this coming Sunday is our kids' pajama party in Kids Church, but then also there are no midweek services for the next two Wednesday nights. And so Come back next Sunday, though. It's going to be the last Sunday before the New Year's. We love you guys. You can be dismissed. Merry Christmas.